It would be good if we could make sure that our cell phones are silenced so we would have no interruption to just receive the Lord's word. It's good to be with you this weekend. This weekend we're fellowshipping about the high gospel. And I just wanted to give you a verse. I think this is the prayer of many of us for you all and for us as well. In Acts 4:20, Peter and John, they answered to some who had come to tell them to be quiet. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is our prayer for all of you, that you would, after this weekend, you would only be able to speak the things that you have seen and heard. And actually, it kind of goes in reverse. That is, we need to hear first. Our hearing is very important. Our ears need to be open. I hope this morning all of you turned your heart to the Lord. It's so good you had a personal time with the Lord. Turn away from so many distractions that are down the mountain. Turn to Him. Turn our heart to Him. Our ears would be opened. You know, you can hear words, but you may not hear. To hear the Lord speaking means that the Lord Himself speaks to you. In all the words that we're speaking this weekend, we pray that some of these words would enter into your heart. This is what it is to hear, is not just to hear the words we're saying, but to receive the words into your heart, into your being, like the seed would enter into your heart. Then when you hear, then you begin to see. Yeah, hearing is needed to see. If you don't hear, you can't see. So the hearing is first, then the seeing. Then we begin to see things that we never saw before. The Lord gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see things that are not on the earth, that are not physical, that are not material, to see the real things, the reality in this universe. And what happens when you hear and you begin to see? We hope you all would speak. Amen. Don't forget to speak. If you've seen something, come up and speak. Even if you just speak one line, one sentence, we want it. We need it. The more you speak, you know what will happen? The more you will see. Amen. It's amazing. All these words are connected. Yeah. So this is what this weekend is for, to hear the Lord, to see the vision of the high gospel, and to speak these words. We cannot but speak. We have to speak. We hope that as you go back to your campuses, you would just speak. Just speak these words. Speak all these things that you're hearing. And we enjoyed such a good beginning last night. I just was thoroughly enjoying the speaking last night. Man is the meaning of the universe. Man is the meaning of the universe. You know, we say this not because we're uplifting ourselves, but because this is God's view. This is God's view. Have you had your view adjusted a little bit? The high gospel begins with seeing that man is the meaning of the universe. We should have our view of ourselves uplifted, not to be proud. Oh, look at me. All of us, we're all man. We're all made in God's image, according to His likeness. We're all God kind. This is so high. You know, if you take the lie of evolution that man came from animals, what's the purpose of our life? I'm just from animals. There's no purpose. And you know what that leads to? You look at many people who hold this thought. What kind of life will you live? The life like an animal. I came from animals. I just do whatever I want. I want to do this. I do that. I'm married. I see another young woman that's more beautiful than my wife. Oh, I want that one. What kind of life is that? That's the kind of life that is lived today by people in the world who do not know God's purpose. Right. And who do not know that man is the meaning of the universe. Amen. We need to be uplifted. Oh, Lord, I'm made in your image. Lord, I'm so high. Lord, how could I ever defile my body? Lord, the campuses are filled with what? Drinking. Right? Every weekend, there's always parties going on. Maybe you're walking home from the campus to the brother's house. Fraternities, sororities, so many things going on. They live that way. Why? Because they don't realize that they're made in God's image. They're made to be filled with God. So they're looking for other things. And they're made to express God. You know, one thing that grieves me in this age that I never saw when I was growing up was the proliferation, I'm not sure what word to use, of tattoos. Tattoos. It's just everywhere, everywhere. And the athletes, you know, just, I mean, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? As a believer, if we see we're made in God's image to express God, why would we do that? How could we do that, right? Of course, these things, we may have gotten into them. We say, Lord, forgive me, right? Lord, cleanse me. This is not meant to condemn us, to judge us. But if we see how high we are, dear young people, you will live in another way. You will live in another way. The way that you take care of yourself, the way that you even clothe yourself, right? As brothers, as sisters in the Lord, we would be different. We wouldn't be the same as those who don't know God and who don't know God's purpose. So anyway, I'm just so burdened for you that you would begin to see ourselves. High gospel begins with seeing ourselves. And last night, I just appreciated the brother sharing. We see man was created as the climax. Everything was created, and man was the climax. Man is the highest creation of God. Man was created in God's kind, according to God's image and likeness. And man was formed personally. Isn't that precious? When God created the animals, he just spoke it into being. But when he came to create you, Hiroki, he got his hands dirty. He went into the clay, and he breathed the breath of life. And you became a living soul. Wow, how personal. How intimate. God created us in this way. This is something. This is high. This is so high. Thank you, Lord, for creating me in such a way. And then he didn't just create us in such a way. When we fell, didn't you enjoy? He came to visit us. He didn't leave us in our fallen state, but he remembered man. And he didn't just remember man. He visited man. You know, if the Lord touches you to remember someone, don't just remember them. Go visit them. Thanks for remembering me, brother, but you never came to see me. Yeah. I was sick, you know, I broke my leg and I was at home. And amen, brother, I remembered you. Yeah. If you remember your brother or sister, visit them. Go be with them. Go bring them something. Shepherd them, right? This is what God did to us. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord is uplifting us from looking at the messy earth to see the bright heaven, right? To see the Lord himself. He's the one who is enthroned with glory and honor. We need to look away unto Jesus, right? We need to see Jesus again and again. So I give you one more verse regarding creation. It wasn't in the outline, but I hope you like it. You've maybe read it before. Psalm 139:14. I will praise you. I will praise you. For I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And my soul knows it well. Dear brothers and sisters, you are awesomely and wonderfully made. God did not make a mistake when he created you. There's no mistake. Your spirit, your soul, your body, it's exactly the way God designed it to be. Today, some people have the thought, maybe there was a mistake. Maybe I should be somebody else, something else. No, don't take that lie. God made you perfectly, awesomely, and wonderfully. Our body, I know myself, I wish I was just a couple inches taller. I have three younger brothers. They're all taller than me. Yeah. What happened there, Lord? Yeah. Oh, Lord. We're made perfectly. That's right. He made me just right. The oldest one should be the shortest one. Yeah. Because the oldest one needs to be humbled a little bit. The oldest one is very proud. Then what about even our inward parts? You know, he made all our inward parts. This morning when the brother was sharing with us at breakfast about the bears and little baby bears, did you hear all the, oh? Yeah. He made you just right, sisters. Yeah. You have feelings about baby bears. Yeah. Brothers are like, whatever. But he made you that way. He made you that. There's no mistake. Sisters, don't try to be like a brother. Yeah. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my emotions that helped me to turn to you. Oh, that I could be like a Mary who loves you so passionately, who goes to the tomb in the morning of resurrection, who says, where is he? And I'll carry him away. You say crazy things like that you can't do. Yeah. It's good to love the Lord. Love the Lord with your whole being, our emotions, our mind. The Lord made him just the right way. Just the right way. So I hope you would just thank the Lord for the way he created you. He created you in his image to be filled with him. Now, in message two, we come to Christ is the meaning of human life. Christ is the meaning of human life. So man is the meaning of the universe. But now as a man, what do I need? I need Christ. Christ is the meaning of my human life. If I do not have Christ, I will have a life full of vanity, full of emptiness. And we'll see this in the outline. How about let's all read Roman number 1. In his creation, God made man in his image and entrusted man with his dominion. We saw this last night so clearly. God made man in his image and according to our likeness in Genesis 1:26. And he said, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So these are the two key words, image and dominion. Image is to express God. We're made in his image to express him. Do you express God in your daily life? And dominion, we were created and given by God dominion to rule over all the negative things. Do you rule over the negative things on this earth? Sin, sins, the world, the flesh, Satan, right? Many negative things. We need to have dominion over these items. We need to rule the earth. And it's very interesting. In 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female. So again, I just come back to this point. God made us male and female. This is how God created us. In his image and to carry out his purpose. Then the Lord told us to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Subdue it and have dominion. So this was the purpose, the high purpose of God for man, that we would express him and we would rule over all the negative things. In letter A, in order to express God in his image, we need the divine life. And to represent God with his dominion, we need the divine authority. So we see right after God created man in such a wonderful way, he put him in a garden. In that garden, there was the tree of life, which signifies God as life to us. He wants us to take in this life. It's only by taking in his life that we could live a life to express him. It's only by his life that we could rule over the negative things. But before man could do this, Satan came in, deceived man. Man took in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, took in the life and nature of Satan. So this is where we are today, fallen man. God's purpose in a great way, an overall way, is not being carried out. So God needs some who would return to his purpose. So the Old Testament shows us many stories, many pictures, but eventually we come to the New Testament, and we saw this last night as well, that God eventually himself came to visit man. It's a great thing. God himself became a man. And I just love Matthew 1:1. I don't know if you ever read Matthew 1:1. It's just a great verse. This week the Lord was just reminding me. You know, it says, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The New Testament, you know what it is? It's a book of another generation. Amen. It's the generation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see more about this generation tonight. Yeah. Wow, that's what this book is about? It's about the generation of Jesus Christ. The generation of Adam, the first man Adam, failed God. No expression, no dominion, right? Adam was subdued by Satan and expressed Satan. Just the opposite of what God desired. But God himself became a man. He's the man who fulfills God's purpose. So he was the one who expressed God. He's the one who ruled over the enemy. And we see this in the Gospels. In letter B, how about let's read together? What God wants is not materialistic, moral, religious, or even so-called spiritual people. That's right. This is what God wants, young people. A group of people, not just one. You say, oh, I'm such a person. That's great, but where's the group? God wants a group of people who express him and who return to his dominion. This is the Lord's desire. Today, around us, we see so many young people that are the first word, materialistic, right? Isn't this what we see today? Why are people studying? They can get a job. Why do you get a job? So you can make money, right? Make money so you can have that Beamer, whatever it is, right? Whatever the cars, you go to their dorm room, you go to their rooms, right? The car's on their wall. Yeah, that's, right? They're studying pre-calculus. It's for the car. Right? They keep looking, right? The car's there. So you remind you, what am I doing here? It's the car, yeah. I want the car, or whatever it is, sisters, maybe it's not a car. Yeah, something, right? Pursuing materialism, money, position, right? Fame, material things, all the material things, the physical things, the outward things. Some are moral. Oh, no, I'm not materialistic, I'm moral. Want good things, care for what's right. Religious, formal, scriptural. But all of these, and even so-called spiritual, not real spiritual, people who are pursuing some type of spirituality apart from the divine spirit in the human spirit. Yeah, God wants a group of people who express him and who return to his dominion. So you know how the New Testament begins? John the Baptist comes. And he says, here are all these people, fallen people, materialistic people, religious, moral people. Nicodemus was a moral man. Many of the Pharisees, Sadducees were religious. And John, he's just totally different. He's nothing like all those people. And he comes out and he says to everyone, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Repent. This is the first word of the gospel. This is the word we all need. Repent. Repent. Repent is not just because you did something wrong. Repent is to have a turn. You need to turn. You were going this way. You were pursuing that car, that education, that degree, that money, that position. But now you have a turn. This is what it is to repent, to have a turn in our purpose. We were going one way, but then we saw the high gospel. I'm created in God's image. I'm made to express God. Amen. I'm not made for that car. So we have a turn. This is what repentance is. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. We have a change of our mind, and we have a turn in our purpose. I hope you all would have such a turn. Say, oh, brother, I've been saved for many years. I grew up in the church life. You know what my word is to you? Repent. Don't think that because you've been a Christian for many years, you don't need to repent. Have you been turned away? Have you been distracted a little bit this semester? The classes you've been taking? The media you've been absorbing? Right? Little by little. Satan's way is not come to you with a pitchfork and a, here I am. His way is just to turn down the lights little by little. Dim your vision. Dim your consecration. Right? Dilute it. Make you lukewarm. I was burning in the college training. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the college conference. He just wants to cool you down little by little. So all of us, we need to repent. We need to turn again. Lord, call me freshly for your purpose. Lord, this is the reason of my life. This is what I'm here for. Turn me from so many other things, even from the things that people around me are pursuing, right? As you become a senior, then, oh, that internship. Oh, yeah, I really need an internship. I don't know if I can go to the college training this year. I've been going the last few years, but you know what? I gave the Lord 3 years. That was good enough, right? Let me just, this summer, it's going to be an internship. I really need this for my career, right? Little by little, distracted, right? Turned away. So we need a repentance back to the Lord. Listen to this. We fell from God's image. We fell from God's dominion. God's way to recover us is firstly to bring us back under his dominion, under his ruling. Then we will be those who express his image. And I hope we'll see this in these coming points. Number two, it says, if we return to God's dominion, we will have his image again. We will have his image again. So we need to return. We need to turn to God's dominion. Now, it's interesting, in the New Testament, there's different words that are used here. Genesis 1:26 was image and dominion. But when we come to the book of Matthew, when we repent, in letter C, it says we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what we want to see in Roman numeral 1, it says, here the kingdom of God equals God's dominion. And righteousness equals God's image. We fell away from God's image. We don't express God. We fell away from God's dominion. Now the Lord comes to recover us. So he calls us, repent. John said, repent. When the Lord Jesus came out, what did he say? Repent. He spoke the same thing. Turn. Turn back. Turn back to God. And when we turn back to God, what do we turn to? We turn to, firstly, his kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom means that he is the one ruling. Who is the one ruling in your life? Is the Lord ruling? Is he really ruling in you? In Matthew 6, we know these verses, 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This is the Lord's word. Yeah. We look around us. We see so many things going on. The Lord said, don't be anxious, right? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we be clothed? For all these things, the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. Isn't this true? What do you hear every day from people around you? What am I going to eat? what's for lunch, right? What's for dinner today? Where are we going to go, right? There's even people called foodies. It's actually like, yeah, food's not just something we eat. There's a person who's called a foodie. Yeah, this is this person who's serious about good food. And when they find good food, they want to post that and let you know about it. I found some good food. Look at this. When I went to college, PB&J, right, brother? Peanut butter and jelly. Oh, we can survive for a long time, right? Or nowadays, probably, One of the favorites is ramen. Huh? Ramen. Yeah? But no. Brother, that's not good enough. I need some fresh-made sushi. Oh, no, brother. No, sushi's not that good. Give me the latest bowl of pho. Did I say it right? Yeah. I don't even know if I said it right. Pho. Yeah. Got to get that pho. So many people, right, are just consumed with eating, with drinking. Oh, the latest coffee. What is it now? Pumpkin spice latte. It's the time of that year. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Got to get that pumpkin fix. Pumpkin fix. So many things, young people, right? People are consumed. With what shall we be clothed? Hundreds of dollars for some clothing, right? Because it has a name on it. Oh, Lord. All these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. But your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. You know, so you know what he says? Seek first his kingdom. Don't seek those things first. Seek first his kingdom. Seek to be under his ruling, to be under his reign. Yeah, seek to be right with him in all things in your life. We'll come to this. Yeah. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's interesting. In Luke 17:21, I just give you this reference. The Lord was there with the Pharisees, and he told them, he said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus. The kingdom of God is a person. So to be brought under the kingdom of God is to know a person. It's to have a relationship with this person. So when you go to buy food, when you go to buy drink, when you go to buy clothing, you go with him. Lord, how do you feel about this? Lord, is this too much? Is this beyond what I need? You're with him. You're enjoying him. You love him. And he speaks to you. He says, you know what? I think it's okay today. Yeah, you can go for a grande. But another day he says, you know what? You had a grande yesterday. It's okay. Why don't you go home and get one of those Lipton teas at the brother's house? He's a living person. Would you let him rule in you? Right? Let him reign in you? Have a relationship with him. This is what it is to be under God's kingdom. To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And listen what it says. All these things will be added to you. The Lord will take care of you. He's not going to make you live in poverty and starve. He's going to take care of you. But it's first his kingdom. His kingdom first. His righteousness would be first. Then everything would be added. Dear young people, this is a promise. Would you take the Lord up on his promise? Lord, you said, if I seek your kingdom and righteousness, these things will be added to me. Lord, I give these things to you. I give you my future. I give you all the material things. Lord, I give you my marriage. I want to seek you first. Would the Lord, sisters might say, would the Lord make me marry a brother that's not handsome? You know what the Lord said in Song of Songs? He says, I have made everything beautiful in its own time. Isn't that a good verse?
Yeah.
That's a good verse for all the brothers and sisters. Yeah. You'll never marry someone who's not beautiful. They'll be beautiful to you. The Lord will make them beautiful to you. And you know the most beautiful brother or sister is one who enjoys the Lord.
Amen.
One who exercises their spirit.
Amen.
Oh, it's so attractive. Because Christ is expressed through them. Christ is our real beauty, brothers, sisters. This is our real beauty. Seek first his kingdom. Don't be distracted. Some of us older brothers, I guess I'm an older brother now. Remember a few years ago, yeah, they used to call me Daniel. And then one time I went to a wedding and they said, Brother Daniel. Why are they calling me Brother Daniel? My name's Daniel. Yeah. But this is about 5 years ago. I became Brother Daniel. Yeah. But really, dear young people, we can testify. Some of us older brothers, right? We can testify. Seek first his kingdom. All these things. The Lord will take care of everything. We were, by his mercy, we were seeking him when we were young people. And the Lord, he's taking care of everything. We're just blessed, right? It's such a blessing to have this life. Now, I read number one, right? The kingdom of God equals God's dominion, and righteousness equals God's image. So these are the two things that the Lord wants to bring us back. First under his dominion, and then to his righteousness. I just share one short experience with you. It was about five weeks ago. It was a nice Saturday morning like this. I went to my daughter's soccer game, and there was no ref for the game, so I had my ref shirt in my bag, so I said, okay, I guess I'll ref the game. The whole soccer league functions by volunteers. Coaches volunteer, the refs volunteer, everybody volunteers. So I ref the game, and they were playing. It was a good game, tough game, going back and forth. And anyway, the coach on the other side, so I'm refing the coach on my daughter's team. I know him. He's a brother. And the coaches on the other team, as I was making a call or not making a call, hey, come on, ref, you missed that, All right, So I'm just, so it's the first quarter, second quarter, halftime. The game's going on 2-1 or something. I don't remember the score. Third quarter, come on, ref, what's wrong with you? So all of a sudden, the third quarter, I just had enough. So I blew the whistle. The ball went out of bounds. It was throw in, yeah. And I turned to the coach on the other side, two of them, yeah. Be quiet, or you're out of here. Whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, it's nice. Gentle, calm guy. Yeah. That was it. I had enough. So the game ended. My daughter's team, they won 4-2. I think I did a good job. Besides that little outburst. So after the game, the girls come and shake hands and the coaches come by. So I knew the coaches were going to come and talk to me. And so these two guys came over and talked to me and said, we were actually yelling at the kids, it was a throw-in. And anyway, they were trying to explain, one of them was trying to explain why he was yelling, but he had said other things about me during the game, so I knew it, wasn't completely true. The other coach, the assistant coach, an older gentleman, he was telling me, he said, you were out of line. You shouldn't have done that. So anyway, I just kind of said something, I said I had enough, you guys were talking too much, da da da. Anyway, it was done. Well, after the game, I was bothered. I went to the coach of my daughter's team. I was like, those guys said that, and I was like, man, I just had enough of them. That, I'm explaining my position and looking for some sympathy and, yeah, vindication. Wasn't I right? Yeah, and he's like, yeah, you did a great job, I even went to my wife. Honey, he was just too much. They were just saying too much. I just had to say something. You're right, honey. But when I went to the Lord the next morning, the Lord said, you weren't right. And I said, come on, Lord. And I just started to, haven't you done this? The Lord touches you, right? The Lord's kingdom, his ruling. He doesn't let us go. We wish he would let us go sometimes. Lord, why do you care about this? This is nothing, But the Lord wouldn't let me go. Oh, my goodness, saints. It was agony. Every morning I come to the Lord, and he just, you need to go talk to that coach. What? Lord, I didn't say any bad words. It wasn't that bad. He was out of line. I'm just trying to vindicate myself, right? Trying to find a way. I'm like, you know what? He's going to forget about, whatever. The Lord won't take it. He doesn't listen to those excuses. So it took me about a week, because I don't see this guy every day, do I? So about a week later, I saw him at a practice, and the Lord was just like, you gotta say something. So I went up to him. I just said, I'm sorry about, what I said. I said, I appreciate your talking to me. And, I realize this is just my third year reffing. So the Lord just, humbled me a little bit to just receive. Anyway, he shook my hand. He smiled. He's like, yeah, it's okay. You know, you have all these concepts about what people are going to say when you go to apologize or say sorry. And the enemy, wants you to make you think, oh, you're going to look stupid. And they're going to laugh at you. He was just so gracious, just shook my hand. I said, I just don't want anything between us. I said, I know we'll probably see each other in future years, playing soccer here. And I just didn't want any, I don't want any bad feeling. Oh, I felt so good. The next morning I went, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. And the Lord said, the other coach. Come on, Lord. I did one. He said, the other guy was there too. You didn't talk to him. Oh, my Lord. He won't let me go. It took another week. I don't see these guys all the time. Every time I would come to the Lord, I want to pray, I want to read the word. I was like, coach, coach, coach. Eventually, I saw him. I said, the same thing to him. And anyway, again, he shook. I wasn't going to shake their. They shook my hand. Yeah, they appreciated, coming to talk to them. When I finished talking to the second coach, woohoo! I was free. The Lord was happy. That next morning, I came to the Lord. I said, Lord, I take you as my peace offering. Oh, Lord, thank you. I have peace with God and man. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you that you would have the same. Let me ask you, how are your relationships with others? Even now, just consider your relationship with others. And I just wrote down a few parties we have relationships with. What about your relationship with your parents? Your parents. Right? Just consider, is there something you said, something you did? Any offense, right? Any hard feelings, any offenses, enmity, bitterness, right? Between you and your parents, right? You need to open that to the Lord, right? You may need to call them, talk to them. This is a big area. Many young people today don't have a good relationship with their parents. And you say, why isn't the Lord so real? I called, I was shouting, I want to release my spirit. But you know what? If we're not under the Lord's rule, if we're not living in righteousness, then this may be the reason why the Lord is not so real. Remember Revelation 22:1. Mm-hmm. Revelation 22:1. Say, how does this relate to me? There's a throne of God and of the Lamb. And out of that throne flows the river of water of life. If we would enjoy that flow of water of life, we need to be under the throne. We need to be under God's ruling. This is why the Lord says, seek first his kingdom, and his righteousness. Yeah, these are the things we need to come back to. Another relationship we have, brothers and sisters in the church. Yeah. How is your relationship with all the brothers and sisters? Especially if the Lord has put you in a wonderful, divinely designed corporate living situation. Corporate living. Yeah, some may live with other brothers and sisters. It's just amazing how the Lord does that and arranges just the right ones for us to live with. How's your relationship? Beginning of the quarter, you guys said, okay, if you put your name on the food in the refrigerator, that's yours. But, nobody was home that day. That, you know, that just that bottle of Pepsi, it just was, you just needed a little bubbly. Just needed a little bubbly. It had somebody else's name on it, but, you know, just a half a cup, right? They won't notice. It's not that much. You take a little bit, right? And even the brother didn't notice. The sister didn't notice you took something. But you know. Yeah, all our relationships. Sometimes I've gone to conferences with other brothers, and maybe we're sharing a restroom, you know, in the shower. Oh, I forgot my soap. I forgot my shampoo. The brother won't mind. The brother won't. You know, you don't see the volume of shampoo or soap in there, right? If I just use a little bit, right? He won't mind. You come and see the brother. He goes, oh, hey, man, brother. You kind of smell like my soap. Whoops. I thought I could get away with it. The Lord knows, brothers. The Lord knows, sisters. So many little things. I hope you could see all these little things make a difference with our relationship with the Lord. Right? Our living in the kingdom life. If the Lord really loves us, He won't let us go. He won't let us go. Little things. There may be many things like that. This is righteousness. This is righteousness. In letter B, it says to be righteous is to be right with God and to be right according to what God is. To be righteous is to be right with God and to be right according to what God is. I'll give you one other definition of righteousness. This is from the footnote in Matthew 3:15. Matthew 3:15, the footnote. It says this, to be righteous is to be right by living, walking, and doing things in the way God has ordained. In the way God has ordained. This is what it is to be righteous. By living, walking, and doing things in the way God has ordained. The Lord is looking for people on the earth who would seek His kingdom and who would seek His righteousness, to be right with God. I give you one other category of relationships. We have parents, brothers, and sisters. What about our friends? Our friends, right? Those that are not in the church life, schoolmates, friends outside of the church, right? Our relationship with them. Do we have a proper relationship with them? Is our relationship with them helping us to go on with the Lord? You know, really, relationships outside of the brothers and sisters, those relationships should be for the gospel, right? What is that relationship for? Oh, I've got this friend. What is it for? What are you getting out of that? Yeah, what is he getting out of that? It should be for the gospel. All our friends should hopefully be future brothers and sisters, right? They begin as friends, but they should hopefully become brothers or sisters. Otherwise, why are they our friends? Yeah, what? If they're just friends and they stay friends and they never become anything further, then I'm afraid that that friendship is going to carry us away, right? Distract us from the Lord. So the Lord, even our friends, we need to consider all our relationships. Anyway, may the Lord speak more than I can. You know, the Lord Himself, He was a man without sin. But in Matthew 3:15, He came to be baptized by John. And maybe even some of you are considering baptism this weekend. We really encourage you. Baptism is to take God's way. God's way in the New Testament to be saved is by believing and being baptized. See, I believe in the Lord. Yeah, that was easy. You know, baptism, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But this is God's way, young people. If you're going to take God's way, you need to take baptism. Don't take part of God's way. Take it all. And the Lord Jesus, he answered. He came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John said, you don't need to be baptized, but I need to be baptized by you. And the Lord said these words in Matthew 3:15. Jesus answered, said, permit it for now. For it is fitting for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. The Lord was sinless. But he took God's way of baptism because he was a man in the flesh. A man in the flesh. He didn't have the flesh of sin, but he had the likeness of the flesh. And God's way for all men that are in the flesh is what? Baptism. Termination. You need to be baptized. You're good for death and burial. That's what I'm good for. This is God's way. The Lord took God's way. This is righteousness, is to take God's way. And listen to the result. Oh, I love these verses right after that. What happened? Having been baptized, the Lord came out of the water. And what happens? The heavens were opened. Do you want the heavens opened? Then take God's way of righteousness. The heavens were opened. Wow. And what happened? The Spirit of God descended as a dove. Do you want more of the Spirit? Take God's way of righteousness. And you know what the last thing? Out of the heavens, a voice spoke. This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight. Do you want the Father to delight in you? Take God's way of righteousness. Isn't this precious? An open heaven, a descending Spirit, a speaking Father. They're all yours when you take God's way. Yeah. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you, your relationships, I just hope you would be open to Him. Yeah, open to Him. Let Him come in. Let Him shine in you. Let Him lead you. You know what it says in Psalm 23:3? The Lord is our shepherd, right? In Psalm 23. He leads us. He guides us. He feeds us in the pastures, the waters of rest. And if you just got saved, just enjoy the waters of rest. Just enjoy the pasture. But I believe the Lord is leading many of you young people, you know where? To verse 3. In verse 3, it says this: He guides me in the paths of righteousness. I believe many of you are at this point. The Lord wants to guide you into a path of righteousness. You've enjoyed the Lord. You've grown in the Lord. You love the Lord. But He wants to bring you into a path, into a living that would be right with God in every way. Every relationship, every matter, you would be right with God. So the Lord guides us in these paths of righteousness. I hope He would guide you a little more this weekend. Wonderful. Well, I need to move on. I skipped over A, so let me read A. If we are poor in spirit, the kingdom of the heavens is ours. So all these verses regard the matter of the kingdom or righteousness. The kingdom or righteousness. We need to be under the kingdom, under His ruling. Then this will bring us into a righteous living. A righteous living. We need to be emptied, unloaded. Then the kingdom of the heavens will be ours. In C, it says, if we want to be right according to God, we will be persecuted because the whole world, which lies in the evil one, is filled with unrighteousness. And is filled with unrighteousness will rise up against us. This is true. This is true, young people. Today, as we are those learning to live under God's rule, right? Learning to live a life of righteousness, the whole world is filled with unrighteousness. The whole world is filled with doing things, living, walking, and doing things not in the way God has ordained. God has ordained certain things in our life, in humanity. Marriage, God has ordained. We read the Word, God has ordained. A husband and a wife, a man and a woman will be joined together. What God has yoked together, let no man separate. This is God's ordination. But the world is full of unrighteousness. So they want to resist God's ordination. Right? How can you say that? How can you be against this? Well, God loves all people. He does. God loves all people. We should love all people. But we also know that God is righteous. And there's a righteous way that God has ordained things to be. So we need to be open to this. We need to say, Lord, show me your ways, right? In number three, it says, how about let's read together? If we seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, he will give us his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the things that we need. So the Lord will take care of us. Now we come to the second half. And really, my burden was in the first half, so we can go a little more quickly here. And really, the first Roman numeral, young people, is the prerequisite. The prerequisite for number two. Yeah. If you want to enjoy Christ as your life, as your person, you need to be one under the kingdom of God and having the righteousness of God. So these two are inseparable. You need one for the other. So Roman numeral 2, let's read together. Christ is the meaning of human life. These verses in John 7 was the last day of the great feast. Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. All the human endeavors have a last day. Everything in your human life, right? You graduate from college. I know it seems a long way off right now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen by the Lord's grace. Yeah. You will graduate from college. You will. And that day you graduate, it will be the last day. The last day. And you thought when that day came, oh, you would be so satisfied, so happy. And you are for a few hours. But then you're just thirsty. What's next? Right? You get a good job offer. You got that job. Oh, yeah. This is what I've been dreaming, to work for this company in Silicon Valley. Oh, I finally got it. But after you get that job, you get that bonus, you buy that new car, you're thirsty, right? It doesn't satisfy. Nothing in this earth, nothing of the material things, young people, will ever satisfy us. I wish there was a way that you could believe this. Yeah, but there's no quick way. Yeah, so I just hope that when you get there, that the Lord will remind you of this word. Yeah, when you pursue these things, you get them, the Lord would have mercy on you, and you would have the sense of thirst, the sense of dryness, the sense of emptiness. He wouldn't let you go. He wouldn't let you go. We wish we could just tell you this, and you'd say, amen, I believe you, brothers, and I'm just going to seek first his kingdom. But in reality, right, we all have our path. We all have to learn. Many times we learn through our experience. So may the Lord be gracious to you. When you're thirsty, young people, when it didn't satisfy, when that relationship, when that job, when that paycheck didn't satisfy, remember, the Lord is the living water, right? Turn, turn. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Come to the Lord and drink. Come to him and drink. A says, human life apart from Christ is without God and therefore without hope and a goal. In Ecclesiastes, the wisest man who ever lived said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Solomon had it all. He had it all, more than any of us could ever have. But this was his estimation. Yeah, it's all vanity. Without Christ, it's vanity. And in Ephesians 2:12, it says, you were apart from Christ. That's the beginning of the verse. And the end of the verse says, having no hope and without God in the world. Apart from Christ is to have no hope and without God in the world. This is how we were. This is how maybe some of our friends are. This should give us a burden for them. Right? No hope without God in the world. This is the human life apart from Christ. Let's all read letter B together. The human life is not capable of expressing God and not good for exercising God's authority. But the human life is good for one thing. That is for receiving the life which is capable, the eternal life of God. Hallelujah. Your life is good for one thing, amen, to receive the life of God. Amen. Could I get Brother Hiroki to stand up with me? Yeah. Hiroki's made in God's image. according to God's likeness, Hiroki, you're good for one thing, to receive the life of God.
Amen.
To be filled with God. Amen. You know, he's made in God's image, just like this bottle, right? You're a container, a vessel to contain God. This vessel, it says, this container says purified water. Yeah, that's what it says. So that's what goes in here. But when you look at man, man is in God's image. So you know what this vessel says?
It's contained of God.
Right. God bottle. God. Water bottle. God bottle. Water bottle. God bottle. What are you made to contain, Hiroki?
For God.
God. Does anything else satisfy you?
No.
Let's put some sand in here. Oh, maybe some coins. No. Are you satisfied with sand?
No.
No. You live near the beach? Does the beach satisfy you?
No, not really.
It doesn't really? You're from Fullerton, huh? Yeah. Maybe you wish you could live near the beach. But let me tell you, the beach will not satisfy you. Yeah. But God will.
Amen.
Money will not satisfy you. But God will.
Amen.
You're a God bottle. Thank you, Hiroki. Young people, it's just so simple. It's so clear.
Amen.
Nothing else will satisfy us except for God. So in letter C, let's see what we should do. Let's read together. We need to take Christ as our life by breathing in Christ, drinking Christ, and taking Christ as our food. Have you done this? We're doing this weekend. But my burden is also that you would do this in your daily life. Take Christ in as your life, your life. You know how you enter the kingdom of God? It's by regeneration. By regeneration, you're born of God. You enter into God's kingdom. Now you're in the realm of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a realm of life. It's a realm of life. And Christ wants to be our life. The previous point told us that Christ is life. What is the eternal life? The eternal life is a person. He who has the Son has the life. The life is just a wonderful person. But we need to take him as our life. Right? We have life, but we need to maintain that life. We need a life supply. Right? You have the human life. But if you didn't eat for 5 days, brothers, where would you be? You'd be on the floor. Right? We have to maintain the life. We can't live on once a week meetings. Can you? Can you live? You're just coming once a week and eating the Lord and enjoying the Lord with the saints. And then the rest of the week, you just completely forget about the Lord. How could we live that way? We need to take Christ as our life.
Amen.
Breathing him in John 20. Drinking Christ in John 4 and 7. And taking Christ as our food. You know what John 6 says? He's the living bread. He came down out of heaven. He did so much for you, but would you eat him? What if he came down out of heaven and he said, you know what, I'm not hungry, Lord. I came down out of heaven for you. I was crucified. I died and resurrected. But you won't even spend a few minutes to eat me, to take me in? You know how John 6 ends? It begins with the bread of life, the living bread, the bread that came down out of heaven, the true bread. And you know how it ends? The words I speak to you are spirit and life. You know how to get the bread? It's in the Word. You got to get into the Word. You got to read the Word. You have to pray over the Word. That's the way to eat the bread. The living bread will become real to you through the Word. Number one says Christ wants to be man's life so that the human life can be enriched and become more meaningful. Do you want your life to be enriched, meaningful? Then you need to enjoy the Lord more. Number two says God created us with a human spirit as the receiving organ to receive God himself into us as our life. Our spirit is so important. Young people, our spirit is what separates us from the animals. You know what this means? This means that if we don't use our spirit, we can live a life just as an animal. And some do. The Lord reminded me of Jude 19. The Lord said this, if you can just write this down. look at this verse later. But listen to this. Even before 19 and 18, it says this, in the last days, that's today, the end of the age, the last days, you know what will happen? There will be mockers. Mockers. People who mock God. People say, you're silly Christians. You're old-fashioned. Catch up with the times. What's wrong with you? You believe these old things in the Bible? We believe in God's word, in what God has ordained, right? God's righteousness, we believe. But there, in the last days, today, there will be mockers going on according to their own lusts for ungodliness. So they're living a life for ungodliness according to their lust. And you know what they do? They mock everyone else who's living a life according to righteousness. The Lord told us there would be such persons. Now listen in 19, it says, these are those who make divisions, soulish, having no spirit. Having no spirit. Wait a second. I thought we all have a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And we do. All man has a spirit. But you know what it says? There's a little note on this verse. So I just read to you a portion of it. Again, I recommend this to you. It says, these persons do not care for their spirit or use it. They do not contact God by their spirit in communion with the Spirit of God. They don't spend time with the Lord. Neither do they live and walk in their spirit. They have been drawn downward by their flesh and have become fleshly, so that they have lost the consciousness of their conscience. And listen to this. And have become like animals without reason. Without reason. There's no reason. It doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable, the things these people do, the things these people say. So we need to exercise our spirit. Our spirit is a safeguard that will keep us in God's kingdom and keep us in God's righteousness. Number 3 says we all have to practice one thing, that is not to live by ourselves, but to always live by Christ. We should live by Christ. He's a wonderful person in our spirit. How about let's read 4 together? We need to open up ourselves all the time. Call on his name. Then we will see that he is the instant, present, up to date, moment by moment Christ. Is he such a Christ to you? Instant. Instant. Whenever you need him, he's right there. Present. He's up to date. Moment by moment. Dear young people, he's with you all the time. Our brother shared with us that the Lord came to visit us, and he never leaves us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He says, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. We just need to open ourselves to him all the time. And a great way to open to him is shown in these verses. We need to call on his name, right? You know what Lamentation says? Even in the lowest pit, young people, the lowest pit, after final exams, if you feel that you're in the lowest pit, that's the time that you can call on his name. You can breathe him in. You may not be able to shout hallelujah after final exams, but you can definitely say, Lord, I need you. And he's happy. He's happy to hear that. Finally, in D, let's read D. We need to take Christ as our person by abiding in him, living him, and loving him. If we take Christ as our person, we will spontaneously express God and represent God. So not only to be our life, but also to be our person. You know what this means? This means that you allow the Lord to make his home in your heart. So your thoughts, your considerations of things is different than before. Say, Lord, how do you feel about this? Your feelings, your emotions, your decisions, your will, right? A person is living in you. It's not just a life, not just like some energy. Yeah, but there's a real person in you who has feelings and thoughts and considerations. And so as you're going about choosing your major, deciding what to do when you graduate, Lord, I've heard about this place in Anaheim. What do you think about it, Lord? How do you feel about it? I don't really like Anaheim. Oh, Lord, I'm going to go to Hawaii. Open to this person, right? This person is living in you. We need to allow him, right, to live in us. Take him as our person. If you do, young people, you know what will happen? If you take the Lord as your person, you will express God. You will represent God. You will fulfill God's purpose. Because Christ lived this life already. Now he's in you, but he wants to live that life again. He wants to live this wonderful life, the life that fulfills God's purpose. He wants to live it in you. He wants to live the life of a God-man at UC Irvine, UCLA, UC San Diego, UC Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara needs some God-men living over there. Amen. UC Riverside, Cal State Fullerton, right? All the campuses. This is the need, is to have some young people who would live such a life. Your living of such a life is the preaching of the high gospel. Let's take a minute to read the focus and then pray with our neighbor, and the brothers will tell us what to do. I hope many of you could speak something. Remember the word as we began this morning? Yeah, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So read the focus, pray, and speak something. Amen. We need to repent. Let's pray two by two.